All right. Somehow the audio is not working properly on the show today, but we're going to be fine, folks. We are going to be just fine. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I am now on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, the George Wilder Jr. Show has now arrived.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All right. Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, folks. It is another beautiful day in the city of Chicago. Wow, I can't believe it. I need to have a million bucks. We need to have a million bucks. All right, it is another day, another beautiful day in Chicago, and it is just wonderful, folks. It's beautiful. Do not let anybody tell you anything different about Chicago. It is a beautiful city. It's a great place to live, a wonderful place to live if you can afford it. Besides that, it is a wonderful place to live. It is great. It's beautiful. It's summery. It is just, I mean, if you're feeling down, depressed or worthlessness or whatever, you know, I mean, this is the kind of day that will bring you out of that. You will say to yourself, wow, I'm glad to be alive. Glad I woke up this morning. It is such a beautiful day. Let me get out here and enjoy it and enjoy the beautiful day. Enjoy it. Chicagoans, do not let days like this slip away. If you have a chance of getting out there and enjoying it doesn't mean you need a pocket full of money. It doesn't mean that you need to have a lot of places to go. Enjoying the day means just getting out, taking a walk, a 15-minute or 30-minute walk, enjoying your community, enjoying the neighborhood, and just meeting up with neighbors who are out doing the same thing, which is enjoying the moment, enjoying the day, enjoying the summer while we have it. And I'm going to say this again. It is a beautiful day in Chicago, and I hope it is beautiful wherever you are. 347-857-1762. You're now tuned into the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting out of Chicago. As always, I'm in my studio. I'm near the lake. I have this great big old window in front of me, and it's just great, folks. People are passing by. They're watching me. I'm watching them. I'm doing my thing, and I'm pretty sure they're going to be doing whatever they do later on as the work day for us, for all of us, progresses. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show and social commentary, and always have great guests on the show. I'm having a guest today, and his name is Michael Tomaz, and he will tell us why we should be listening to him for whatever he wants us to know. You know, I mean, if I may have said that wrong, but, you know, why we should be listening to him and what he has to show us that we should be interested in. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. But anyway, welcome to George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me at Blog Talk Radio right here. And, you know, LinkedIn, Facebook, I'm all over the place, you know, and, you know, it's fun. All of that stuff is fun. It's just great. It just makes me want to do what I'm doing even more. I love what I'm doing. I've been off for the weekend and taking off and enjoying the day. I'm just enjoying the summer weather, folks. It is great. And I hope you are enjoying it wherever you are. And for those of you who are having bad weather, my condolences. You know, but I'm pretty sure it can't be bad all the time. It's going to be beautiful and wonderful. All right, let's get on with the show. Let's get on with the show until Michael Tomas shows up at the show. You know, I was watching this clip of on one of the social networking sites of Toni Morrison. She is one of those prolific authors. Toni Morrison, she has, in my estimation, she has a style of her own. She writes differently from the rest of us. Her writing may, you know, you may say this or that about it, but she writes the way she writes. She formats her prose the way she wants it. And we all seem to understand what she's talking about. She's been on the Oprah Winfrey shows many times. She's one of Oprah Winfrey's favorite authors. Hopefully I will be someday. But anyway, I was watching this watching and listening to this tape of Toni Morrison, and this was recently. This was recently. I believe she was in a wheelchair or something, but her brain was still on fire, you know. And she was talking about writers in general, authors in general, people who write to try to make the world a better place. And that's what this show is about. But she was talking about that. She was saying people who try to get the word out to try and help other people, to inform other people, to entertain other people in a positive way, that a lot of us are being targeted. We are being targeted because of what we do. We are being targeted because we wanting to make the world a better place. We want to help our neighbors and our friends. We want to give out important information that can help you along with your day. And people like us, she says, this is her, saying that we are targeted. People are out there to tear us down, to belittle us, to even try to end our lives because we are out there with a message, a positive message that they do not want to hear. But basically to me, it's just hate, totally hate. And, she would sit there. She was so prolific, and she was getting all this. I guess she was sitting in front of an audience because they was clapping and all that kind of thing. And I never actually had gotten into Toni Morrison until I heard this, heard her say these things. And I was right with her because I thought she was right on target. I thought she was bold enough to say what she said. Obviously, she herself had experienced some of that in order for her to tell us about it. And she's right. She's right. There are people out there who want to tear those people down who are trying to make the world a better place, whether it's through their writing, whether it's through their work or input through television or through marches and things like that. Black Lives Matter. There are people out there who are actually trying to keep us silent because they don't want this. They don't want you to try to make the world a better place. They want the world to be as screwed up as it is and screwed up even more. But we're not going to allow that to happen because this is one thing this show is about. This show is about making the world a better place. You know, and I'm not the only show out there that's trying to make the world a better place, but it's okay to be a part of a conglomerate of people, groups, corporations of all kinds, black, white, green, yellow, we're getting together trying to make the world a better place. And I believe that of Black Lives Matter. I believe that of this group. There are so many people out there that's trying to tear down Black Lives Matter. there are people out there who are trying to say Black Lives Matter matters is the next KKK. Now, that is so ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. You know, Black Lives Matter, as I said on yesterday's show, and I hope you tuned into that. As I've said on yesterday's show, Black Lives Matter is not, they are not about police, and they are not anti-police. Yeah, I said anti-police. Black Lives Matter is anti-police brutality. That's what they're about. But there are so many other groups, people, hate groups, people who are just ignorant assholes, who's trying to paint this group differently. And that's ridiculous. They are not a hate group. They are not against the police officers. They are not out there saying gun down, shoot police officers. They are not about that. But you got people out there who are trying to put these labels on this group. Basically, Black Lives Matter, they're made up of women, young women from grammar school, high school, junior colleges, universities. And these people are not violent. Black Lives Matter are not violent. But you listen to Fox News, I mean, wow, they are excoriating Black Lives Matter. Some lady on there, some young lady, bimbo, saying that Black Lives Matter is an equivalent to KKK. Sarah Palin has called Black Lives Matter thugs and hoodlums, and they want riots, and they are calling for the shooting of police officers, and that is totally not true. I mean, who would listen to Sarah Palin anyway, right? And who would want to listen to some of those young bimbos on Fox News? I think a lot of this, folks on Fox News and other cable channels, conservatives, as they call themselves, they are just trying to make more trouble. This is all they're doing. They're hiring people to put on television and put a camera in front of them, and they're saying any old dumb, stupid ass thing, and it becomes controversial. And I do believe that a lot of this is put on. A lot of this is just put on, you know, and it's a shame. A lot of it's deliberate. The powers that be putting on a bunch of nobodies, a lot of nobodies on television, and getting them to say stupid things on television. And when they say stupid things, the rest of us are demanding that they are fired, thrown off the air. Because no one should be saying that Black Lives Matter is the KKK. No one should be saying Black Lives Matter are filled with thugs and hoodlums. Let's say for instance, if one of my listeners, you know, you got a teenage son or you got a teenage daughter. God forbid that one of your teenage daughters or one of your sons are shot on the street by a police officer. Or by a young thug. You would want to do something about that. You would want to say something about that. You would want to let other people know about your hurt and your problem. And you would want to try to solve what went on. You would protest in some way. You might protest, you know, well, we need more gun control. We need the police to do a better job about getting guns off the street. You would want to open your mouth and say something and do something about the violence out here, whether it's against the police or it's against the gangs in the neighborhood that has taken your child's life. You wouldn't sit back and say nothing. You would want the world to know that your son was a great son. And he or she did not deserve to be shot down dead. You wouldn't sit back. And this is what Black Lives Matter they're all about. They're out there raising awareness of what went on. They're trying to change the culture in the police department. Nobody is calling for police officers to be shot down. That's Fox News, cable news. That's the conservatives, right-wing hate radio. That is what that is. And all of that is deliberate because they want to, they just want to start a ruckus. They want to create chaos and then blame the other guy, then blame the other person, you know. And so we have to understand that, folks. Black Lives Matter matters is not a hate group. I'm not a part of them, and I'm not condoning what they say and do, but I do know they are not a hate group. They are not thugs. They are not the KKK. They are just out there raising awareness about police brutality against black men. And we all know that it's a reality. It needs to be said. Just because they're out there protesting and trying to bring awareness to this, it doesn't mean that they're resisting arrest. It doesn't mean that they're wishing the worst for the police officers. Nobody is wishing for the police officers to be cops, to be shot. Some police officers are really good people. They're your friends. They're your next door neighbors. You know, but you have a few rogue cops on the force. That's no doubt about it. And I said this yesterday. If a good cop knows there's a bad cop on the force, then that good cop becomes a bad cop because that good cop will not turn in the bad cop. I'm trying to understand that with myself. But you know what I'm talking about here. So it just, you know, it just kind of just, you know, makes me want to think sometimes when people are trying to degrade a good group, a great group of people. I think Black Lives Matters. But, you know, in reality, all lives matter. All lives are precious. There's no doubt about that. Every life is precious. But Black Lives Matter, you know what they're talking about. You know where they're coming from. You know why they're out there. Because there is no doubt about it. There's plenty of proof. There's plenty of proof. There's plenty of video proof out there that police officers, a lot of them have been overstepping their bounds. I mean, I'm not equating that they should be targeted or there should be a war on police officers. But I'm just saying things have to change. Things have to change with the police. Things have to change with the inner cities and their crime communities and neighborhoods. Things have to change. And that's one of the reasons why this show is here, folks. This show is about making the world a better place. Every episode of this show is about making the world a better place. I would not be here, or I would not want to be here, if I wasn't a part of something like this. This is global. This is international. This is all over the place. It's universal. This is making the world a better place, and you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I will be right back.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is beautiful. I'm in my studio. We are waiting for my guest. It is so wonderful, folks. It's a great day. I almost feel guilty doing the radio show. I'd rather be out here enjoying this weather like so many other people are. But, you know, once the show is over, wow, who knows what's going to happen. Great guest for great listeners, and that's going to be one of my other sayings. All right, foreign governments are telling their citizens not to travel to the United States. Yeah, that's true. Other countries are telling their citizens not to travel to the United States, or beware when you do travel to the United States, because of all the crime that's going on in this country. That's something. I mean, when I first heard that, it was like, wow, has the United States sunken so low that other countries do not want to come, their citizens to come to the U.S.? Now, that's a new one on me. You know, but you know what? I can see their point. I can see their point. As I've said yesterday on the show, it seems like we are, the United States of America, is we are in a civil war. We're fighting each other. We're killing each other. This is not coming from terrorists or foreign governments. We are doing it to ourselves. And it's getting worse. It's getting too damn worse, where foreign governments and foreign leaders, they are paying attention to what's going on over here in America. They are paying so much attention to what's going on over here in America that they are telling their people, beware, be careful if you're going to go there. Be careful. Because of the crime. And they're also saying, if you're going to be visiting the United States, you have to know one thing, that health care in the United States is not free, and that you have to be covered for it, or you have to actually pay for it. Because health care in a lot of countries is free. It's free. United States is probably the only country in the world that you have to be covered. You have to have insurance to go to a doctor. I've gone to the doctor several times, folks, and every time I walk through the door, the first thing they want to see, how am I going to pay for it? They want to see my insurance card. In some countries like Canada, you don't have to show them anything. If you got a broken leg, you hop on into the doctor's office, you get bandaged up, and they let you go, and you don't pay a thing. So, you know, those are also a few things, but there's one more thing. Schools, colleges, universities. A lot of students, foreign students from other countries, they will not come and enter in any of the United States of America colleges, universities, junior colleges, schools, because they have to do what? They have to pay. And in their own country, education is free, totally free. You ain't got to pay a dime for it. So those are three of the reasons to why people are not coming to the U.S., or told not to come to the U.S., or just decide to stay in their own country. You know, I mean, if you think about it, the United States got a lot to make up for. And it's sad that a lot of people do not want to come to the United States because of its politics. They don't want to come here because of the crime. They don't want to come here because they're afraid if something happens to them, they're going to have to come out of their pocket to for health care, which they will. People don't want to come here to get an education because it costs too much, $80,000 a year. That's something. And you're not even guaranteed a job after college. You know, I've known a lot of people who have PhD degrees who are bagging groceries at Dominick's or at Jewel. A lot of kids who've graduated college, universities, find themselves cashiers at Target or Whole Foods or something like that, not working at the major that they studied in and paid all that money for. I'm not saying every student is like that, but, you know, sometimes those things happen. And you have people from other countries saying, no, I don't want to go to the United States. I'd be broke if I did. It is expensive to live in the United States. I've been saying for a long time that it's expensive to live in Chicago, but it's expensive to live in the U.S., period. You know, I mean, you have to come out of your pocket. There are some countries that don't even have taxes. They don't even pay taxes. I mean, you got some states within the United States where you don't pay a cent of tax. I think Florida is one, but not Chicago. So I can see why a lot of countries are telling their citizens not to come to the U.S. But mainly, I think the reason is because of the crime. And as I've said, these people are following what's going on in the U.S., the riots, the shootings, the killings, the gangbangers, the gang slangers. You know, crime is something we seem to not to get a handle on. And remember that conceal and carry is a law in every state. Illinois was the last state to join the rest of the states, but conceal and carry is lawful. And carrying in guns, and in some states, you carry openly. You don't have to hide it under your coat or under your shirt. You just come out and, you know, you got a gun, you know. And, you know, people are walking around like they're Clint Eastwood or something, you know, and especially in Texas. So, yeah, it's a danger in the United States. People are carrying guns and they will shoot your ass. They will gun you down because the law probably will be on their side. Depends on the circumstances. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's been fun, folks. Being on the radio has been a hell of a lot of fun, and I just love it to death. I will be right back. Yeah, foreign governments. I just have to say this again, folks, because it's totally unbelievable. I've heard some people say, well, if they're not going to come to the U.S., why should I stay here? Let me go. You know, so it's real. This is real. Foreign governments, other countries are telling their citizens who want to come to the United States not to because of the ongoing crime. Why can't our representatives senators, why can our politicians get a grip on crime? And I'm also talking about terrorism. It's a shame. I mean, we're fighting ourselves. It's like a civil war, just like I just got through saying. We're fighting ourselves. 347-857-1762. It is a mess. And it's a real situation when other countries are saying that they do not want their citizens to visit the U.S. because of the crime climate. And it's awful. It's awful because in Chicago, every time a 3 or 4 year old child is shot in the back and killed, this kind of thing makes the national news. This kind of thing travels around the world, and other countries and with their leaders are hearing and seeing this in the United States, and they're saying, wow, the United States cannot get their act together in solving a lot of these crimes that go on. And I agree with one politician, and I hardly ever agreed with this guy because he's an asshole, but I have to agree with him. I know some people are saying, why are you agreeing to that? But I have to, because it's reality. He said something like, teenager, 16, 17, 18, young teenager, is more likely to be shot by a gang member in their own neighborhood than they will be the police. That's true. I have no problem with that. I really do, but a lot of people do, and I don't see why. I live in a city where these kinds of things go on, and it's not the police that's gunning down young blacks in some cases. It's young blacks gunning down young blacks. And some people have a hard time saying that. I don't. A lot of people are, you know, when I say something like that, a lot of people act as if they have their heads in their sand or their heads up their butt. This is true. And it's been true for a long time. However, that doesn't dismiss police brutality. Police pulling out their guns for no reason and gunning down a black person, a person of color. That does not dismiss that, you know. So these countries are looking at us, and they are taking notes, and they are telling their citizens, do not go to the U.S. You go to the U.S., you go to the U.S. on your own. Don't expect any help from us. But you know what? It just kind of gets me that we have no free education for American students, our young people, whereas other countries do. We have no free health care for our citizens, as other countries do. Bernie Sanders was right. But Hillary Clinton claims that the reason why she doesn't want free schools and free health care is that she doesn't want rich people sending their kids to free schools when they can afford to pay. That makes sense to me, okay? That makes sense to me. You don't want somebody taking advantage of something just because it's there. People will do that. I've seen them. I've worked with people like that, taking advantage of things that they really don't need. Just because it's free, they're going to, you know, grab it when they really don't need it, when they could pay for it. I can understand her saying those kinds of things. But still in all, there is not, the majority of the people in the United States are not rich. Majority of the families in the United States are not rich. So I'm with Bernie Sanders on free college, free health care for everyone in the United States. Obviously, Hillary Clinton is not. However, she says she's going to work to make schools and health care affordable. Not if you have a Republican Congress, you're not. You ain't going to do anything. Just in case she does try to change things after she becomes president, you know, she's going to have, I've said this before, if we're going to vote Hillary into office, we have to vote her in a Democratic Congress to someone she can work with, people she can compromise with, people who share her same ideology on the United States. You know, we have to find people to work with her, because if we give her a Democratic Congress, you know, a lot of things may sail through Congress. If we give her a Republican Congress, nothing will get done. It will be more gridlock, more bitching, more more lying. You know, I mean, if we give her a Republican Congress, we got to give them, if you're going to vote a Democratic in, give a vote for a Democratic senator, Democratic representative. You know, you have to give Hillary something to work with. You know, Obama for me is out of the equation now. I don't even want to discuss Obama because he's just about all out of office, and he's kind of irrelevant right at this point. So we have to do that, and we have to vote. That's what we got to do. We got to get out there and vote. All right, folks, it's 6:37 p.m. in Chicago. My guest has yet to call in or to be here, and that, you know, is likely. Maybe it is unlikely, but the show still must go on. It must go on. And I want to say one other thing about this commentator. Her name is Tommy Loren. She's a commentator on Fox News, and people are calling for her to resign, to get her ass off the air for saying Black Lives Matters is the Ku Klux Klan, KKK. Now, she's just another, in my estimation, she's just another bimbo Fox hires to say something controversial, to get things going, to get people talking. You know, that's what it is with her, people. And like I said, she's probably a plant to get people talking, to get people to say, wow, did you hear what she said? Did you read what she said? You know, this is what this is about. I think this is one of the ways where Fox gets its ratings. They get their ratings by hiring bimbos and all of these people to be on their show to say these ridiculous ass things. And a lot of people tune in to hear nothing but lies, stupidity, stuff that is totally ridiculous, off the wall rhetoric. I mean, this is what Fox is all about. And this woman, you know, saying that Black Lives Matter is the Ku Klux Klan, she's just creating chaos. That's all she's doing, creating chaos. Nobody knows. Nobody's ever heard of her. Nobody knows who she is. So she has to say something stupid and ignorant and dumb to get some attention. And that's all it is, folks. Saying something stupid, ignorant, and dumb to get attention, you know, and now they're calling for her to get her ass up to get her ass off television, you know, and this may happen. From my understanding, it could happen because Black Lives Matters, as I just got through saying, folks, I'm going to reiterate this. They are not anti-police. This is a group that is anti-police brutality. Even myself, I am not anti-police. You know, I think there's some great officers out there. I think there's some assholes too. But I do think that there are some great officers out there. I once thought that there were more good cops on the force than there were bad cops. I don't know if I'm taking that back now, but because I think that every good cop that doesn't turn into a bad cop is also, because if you are a police officer and you know of a bad police officer and you don't say anything about that bad police officer, that makes you a bad police officer. I understand the code of silence, you know, but in some cases that cannot go on. You have to open your mouth. You know, this is the only way the police department is going to get better. I got a feeling right now, Chicago Police Department, as it is right now, as I sit here today, there are some bad police officers on the force. And there are some good police officers who know of those bad police officers. Some of those police officers, they probably have worked with. You know, but they're watching each other's back. That's all they're doing. I got your back. I got your back. You know, this kind of thing. I mean, if you don't turn in a bad police officer, you know, when that bad police officer does something like pull his gun out and shoot someone, you're going to wish you had to turn that person in. Or if you do not, then you're just this, you might as well pull out the gun and pull the trigger yourself because you protected that bad cop. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
This is an ABC News special report. Now reporting, George Stephanopoulos.
And we are coming back on the air right now because we are told that the Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, will appear momentarily right there at the Justice Department. Of course, she is going to speak on that horrific shooting overnight in Dallas when at least one sniper targeted police officers, attacking 14 of them, killing 5, injuring 7 police officers, 2 civilians injured as well last night in Dallas. There is a shooter identified. Micah Xavier Johnson, 25 years old, an Army reservist from Mesquite, Texas. He was killed by police after several hours of negotiations. 3 other suspects are now in custody as well, but officials in Dallas not saying much about why those suspects are in custody, what they are saying. They are saying that the suspects are being tight-lipped and law enforcement officials being tight-lipped about that as well. I want to go to Matt Gutman, who is on the scene in Dallas right now. The entire city right now, an active crime scene.
Exactly, George. I mean, the crime scene itself probably spans about 20 square blocks, and we just walked over there to survey the area, and there are literally dozens of crime scene and evidence cones scattered about this area. Cops are everywhere. There are officers on every single street corner, and we got to see the spot where apparently the C4 explosives were used to neutralize that sniper on the second story of El Centro College. The blast so powerful there not only shattered the windows of that building, but shattered the windows across the street as well. And right beneath that shooting gallery where they're apparently sniping at officers are at least two squad cars shot to pieces, and at least one of the officers was killed in those squad cars. And we saw bullet casings and bullet holes from that alleged sniper at least 100 yards away. So this is a massive crime scene, and officers, the FBI, ATF, others are still meticulously trying to comb through it and figure out what happened. And one officer with whom I spoke said this is the first time that she's actually been afraid to come to work because she doesn't know who else is out there.
Well, who else is out there? The police chief made that point as well. Also, Micah Johnson had said that he had planted explosives around the site as well. But so far, police have found nothing, correct?
No, they found nothing so far that we've been able to tell. But the officers with whom I spoke said that what they have seen, the video they've seen of this alleged shooter, he seemed to walk around and move very tactically like he was militarily trained. And, of course, we've now learned that Johnson was a military reservist. But so far, we've understood that they have found no explosives at the scene of the crime, George.
Pierre Thomas, you cover the Justice Department, our senior justice correspondent. The Attorney General has now delayed the statement a couple of times this morning. This is quite personal to her as well.
Exactly, George. She wants to express great support for law enforcement in this time of sorrow. And also she knows this comes against the backdrop of those fatal police shootings involving men of color. So she's got to thread the needle today to talk about both these scenarios, but she will be talking about the support that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies at the federal level will be giving the Dallas PD to help them solve this. And again, they still have a situation where they have the name and ID of the deceased suspect, but you also have to make sure that he has no associates or anyone else who was willing to help him. These three suspects, we yet don't know if they will be charged. They could have been just caught up in this, and it's a fluid situation, and they could be released. These situations are fluid. That often happens. But the fact that they were tight-lipped gives law enforcement some pause, and believe me, no one's going anywhere until law enforcement knows everything they feel like they need to know.
Can't take any chances with that. The Attorney General not expected to take any questions. Pierre, any possible concrete policy announcements today?
Well, one of the things I'm looking for is whether she announces whether this is going to be a civil rights investigation. If you take the suspect at his word that he killed police officers because they were white or that he wanted to kill, quote, white people, that is an avenue that she can pursue. Again, there are so many things that remain fluid here, but I think the Attorney General wants to speak to the nation in part because she realizes that this is a pivotal moment, that this is a week that many hope we would never see, but we're yet having it again.
John Carl at the White House. The president has already spoken out twice in the last 24 hours on these shootings. First, the shootings in Louisiana and Minnesota, and early this morning on the shootings in Dallas as well. He's overseas on what was supposed to be a several-day trip. Any indication yet on whether those plans are changing?
There's active consideration to cutting that trip short, George. No decision has been made. But you heard in the president's words about this shooting in Dallas, calling it vicious, calculated, despicable. And now we hear from the Attorney General.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you all for being here today. Last night, at least five police officers were shot and killed. Several more were injured, along with two civilians, as they sought to protect a peaceful protest in Dallas, Texas. Our thoughts and our prayers and condolences go out to the families of those who have lost loved ones. The Department of Justice, including the FBI, ATF, the U.S. Marshals Service, and the U.S. Attorney's Office on the scene, is working closely with our state and local counterparts, and we intend to provide any assistance that we can to investigate this attack and also to help heal a community that has been severely shaken and deeply scarred by an unfathomable tragedy. This is an unfolding situation. We'll be providing additional information when it is available and appropriate. But more so, this has been a week of profound grief and heartbreaking loss. The peaceful protest that was planned in Dallas last night was organized in response to the tragic deaths of Alton Sterling in Louisiana and Philando Castile in Minnesota. Now, we've opened a civil rights investigation in Louisiana, and we're providing assistance to local authorities in Minnesota who are leading the investigation there. And today, we are feeling the devastating loss of Dallas area Rapid Transit Officer Brent Thompson and four other fallen officers whose names remain unreleased as we await notification to all of the families. Now, after the events of this week, Americans across our country are feeling a sense of helplessness, of uncertainty, and of fear. And these feelings are understandable and they are justified. But the answer must not be violence. The answer is never violence. Rather, the answer, our answer, all our answer, must be action. Calm, peaceful, collaborative, and determined action. We must continue working to build trust between communities and law enforcement. We must continue working to guarantee every person in this country equal justice under the law. And we must take a hard look at the ease with which wrongdoers can get their hands on deadly weapons and the frequency with which they use them. And we must reflect on the kind of country that we want to build and the kind of society that we are choosing to pass on to our children. And above all, we must reject the easy impulses of bitterness and rancor and embrace the difficult work, but the important work, the vital work, of finding a path forward together. And above everything, we must remind ourselves that we're all Americans, and that as Americans, we share not just a common land, but a common life, not just common goals, but a common heart and soul. And those we've lost this week have come from different backgrounds, different neighborhoods, but today they're mourned by officers, by residents, by family and friends, by men and women and children who loved them, who needed them, and who will miss them always. They are mourned by all of us. To the families of all who've lost their lives in this series of tragedies, we share your pain and your loss. To our brothers and sisters who wear the badge, I want you to know that I am deeply grateful for the difficult and dangerous work that you do every day to keep our streets safe and our nation secure. Our hearts are broken by this loss. And the Department of Justice will do all that we can to support you in the days ahead. And to those who seek to improve our country through peaceful protest and protected speech, I want you to know that your voice is important. Do not be discouraged by those who would use your lawful actions as a cover for their heinous violence. We will continue to safeguard your constitutional rights and to work with you in the difficult mission of building a better nation and a brighter future. And to all Americans, I ask you, I implore you, do not let this week precipitate a new normal in this country. I ask you to turn to each other, not against each other, as we move forward. Let us support one another. Let us help heal one another. And I urge you to remember, today and every day, that we are one nation, we are one people, and we stand together. May God bless the families and the loved ones of all who were taken from us this week and comfort their grief with his everlasting grace. And may God bless the United States of America. Thank you.
Now!
right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Loretta Lynch. She is the Attorney General of the United States, if I got that right. Bernie Sanders endorses Hillary Clinton. Well, we knew it had to happen. It had to happen, folks, because, you know, it just was in the cards that Hillary was going to take this. But we can't, you know, rule out Bernie. He gave Hillary Clinton a run for her money. I mean, he scared the hell out of her because he could have easily been the nominee. He could easily be the one that's facing Donald Trump, you know, but he has endorsed Hillary Clinton, and now he's begging and asking his supporters to now back Hillary Clinton. They backed Bernie Sanders. You backed Bernie Sanders. Now we want you to back Hillary Clinton. And with this type of firepower, you know, there's no way in hell Trump is going to win. But my understanding is that Trump and Hillary is almost tied. Hillary is still in the lead in the polls nationally, excuse me, but Trump is, you know, coming up behind her. And never rule out the fact that Donald J. Trump, could be the next president of the United States. That's a scary thing. We all know that's scary, and it is reality of being scary. You know, but things happen. Do not count this guy out. I mean, he's not fit to be president. He should be nowhere near the White House in January 2017. He shouldn't even be in the race. But somehow, you know, he had those supporters out there. They like him. Why do they like him? They like him because he's straight to the point, even though he has nothing to say. He bashes Hillary instead of talking about policy and issues. He doesn't know policy and issues, so that's why he doesn't talk about them. Hillary and Bernie, they are policy and issue oriented, not Trump. Trump don't know crap. When I say foreign leaders, I'm talking about leaders from other countries. Are calling Trump dumb, stupid, and dangerous. These are their words. Okay, so you know, and some people over here in the U.S. are calling him saying the same thing. But you know, Bernie endorses Hillary Clinton, and that's a good thing. So the next thing we have to do is get out here and vote. You don't want Donald Trump to be your president? Then vote. Then vote. You know, and he will not be. He will not be. It's laughable and kind of comical that Donald Trump, his VP pick may be Mike Pence or Chris Christie. These are two governors in their own state where most of the people don't like them. They're Republicans, obviously. So his VP picks are questionable. I would love to see Trump pick Chris Christie or Sarah Palin. Why? Because that is a sure loss for Donald Trump and a sure win for Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton also said once she becomes president, Bernie Sanders will always have a seat at the table. He better have. I mean, he almost tossed her butt away. He better have some part in the discussions at the table, putting issues forward for the country. I would think he would have a big microphone over other people. My thinking is that Hillary Clinton is going to pick Elizabeth Warren to be her vice president. You will have a woman president and a woman vice president. I think that would be cool. I think that would be just great. You know, Donald Trump is going to pick, you know, there's no doubt about it. I believe Donald Trump is going to pick somebody we all don't like. You know, and you got to be crazy to think you're going to win the presidency with someone that the American people do not care for. And, you know, that can happen. That can happen. So the bottom line here is that Bernie endorses Hillary, and he's trying to convince his supporters to all get in the back of support, get in the back of Hillary Clinton. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing. A lot of us, even myself, we are on the bench about Hillary Clinton, but we have to come off of it, because if not, we could get Donald Trump. So I'm hoping that everybody who backed Bernie Sanders will now back Hillary Clinton. You know, I mean, we have to. I mean, a lot of us still don't trust Hillary Clinton. We still don't like her. But she would be a lot better than a Donald Trump. I mean, listen to this, folks. You even got Republicans telling Republicans to vote for Hillary Clinton because they do not want to see a Donald Trump presidency. So, you know, with this kind of voting power, Donald Trump can not only be beaten, he must be beaten, but Hillary has to landslide this guy, beat him badly. He just cannot be beaten by a few votes, a few delegates here, a few votes there, whatever. He has to be beaten badly. Because if Donald Trump gets beaten really badly, that will send a message to him that we do not want his type nowhere near the White House. So if people like him in the future decide to run for president after he loses, they will know better, hopefully. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And the question has been put out there at the beginning of the show. Is Black Lives Matter the new KKK? And I've said this at the beginning of the show because I was totally pissed off when I heard this, when I read this. And it's true, you know, because I always tell the people that do not believe everything you read on the internet. And you cannot believe everything you read on the internet. So many people, well, George, they said this and they said that and this was said. I'd say you cannot read and believe everything you read on the internet, because most of it, I think about 50% of it, is false. It's a bunch of lies. People can post anything they want with pictures and all this kind of crap, pretending like they're a news outlet or something, and they're writing something. You know, you cannot believe everything you read on the internet, and a lot of people do. If it's on the internet, if it's on Facebook, boy, I believe it. You can't. You can't. If you do, you're the biggest fool, you know, because most of this stuff is not true. For me, you know, I read a lot of stuff on Facebook and LinkedIn and all this on some other social websites. And I take everything I read with a grain of salt. It has to come from, for me to believe it and to read it, it has to come from a viable, reliable source. You know, and I have to be able to check it out two or three times, you know, in other places before I decide to talk about it or mention it on the radio or even just post it in one of my social networking on any of my social networking sites. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Show, and we're still trying to figure out, is Black Lives Matters, are they the new KKK? And I've said this several times before. No, they are not. And I've explained myself pretty damn good at the beginning of the show and all through this show, this episode right here, saying that Black Lives Matters, these people are not the KKK. And for someone on Fox News to suggest this, and some people maybe throughout the United States thinking the same thing, this is not right. This is not accurate. I think people who are saying these kind of things are totally racist. Anybody who says Black Lives Matter, these group of protesters, these people which are all over the United States, any people say that they are the KKK, they're either racist or they just don't give a damn, or they're just ignorant. Put it that way. Because they are not. These people are there. They are. Most of them I see are young girls out of high school, college, grammar schools, universities. And they're out there just making a statement. They're not anti-police. I've said this several times. They're not anti-police. Black Lives Matter, like a lot of us, are anti-police brutality. That's what they're about. And I take offense to anybody who says that they are out there suggesting that more policemen be gunned down. They're not about police brutality. They're not about violence on police officers. I'm not about violence on police officers. And I'm thinking that majority of the Americans are not about violence on police officers. Because there's no doubt more violence happened in some of these inner communities, these inner neighborhoods, than there are unlawful police shootings of black people. At least in my thinking. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we've been talking about Black Lives Matter. You know, and we're going to be talking about that quite a bit because this thing is always in the news. But we're going to try and move on to other things. And we're going to try and talk about this again. Foreign governments telling their citizens not to travel to the United States. This is going to be a topic on this show because this is totally unbelievable. It is totally unbelievable. Other countries, I've said this before earlier into the show, and it bears repeating, you know, and it's awful. Other countries, there's over 200 countries around the world, folks, and most of those countries, if not all of those countries, are warning their citizens not to come to the U.S. because of what? Because of the crime. The crime. You know, because every time there's a shooting in Chicago, it reverberates all around the world. And other countries, they are watching and listening, America. And it's something like Loretta Lynch said, we should not turn against each other. We should turn to each other. We don't want a civil war, another civil war within the United States, Americans fighting Americans. We do not want that. So I'm pleading for peace on this radio show. Because this show is about making the world a better place. If you cannot make the world a better place, if you don't want to make the world a better place, if you just don't give a damn about the crime, it hasn't hit your door, you don't give a damn about nothing or nobody, then this is not the show for you. I would say turn it off. But if you care about making the world a better place, stopping the violence, stop the shootings, stop the killing, stop the brutality, stop hurting each other, stop fighting each other, then this is the show for you. We should all sit down and have a slice of pizza. My favorite actually is sausage. Sausage. I like sausage. My son likes cheese. Actually, he likes anything. If it's food, he'll eat it. It doesn't matter. Anyway, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks.
Stay with me. We got pulled over for a busted tail light in the back. And the police just, he's covered. They killed my boyfriend. He's licensed to carry. He was trying to get out his ID and his wallet out his pocket, and he let the officer know that he had a firearm and he was reaching for his wallet, and the officer just shot him in his arm. We're waiting for back. I will, sir. No worries. I will.
Fuck.
He just shot his arm off. We got pulled over on Larpiner.
I told him not to reach for it. I told him to get his hand open.
You told him to get his ID, sir, and his driver's license. Oh, my God. Please don't tell me he's dead. Please don't tell me my boyfriend just went like that.
Keep your hands where they are, please.
Yes, I will, sir. I'll keep my hands where they are. Please don't tell me this, Lord. Please, Jesus, don't tell me that he's gone. Please don't tell me that he's gone. Please, officer, don't tell me that you just did this to him. You shot 4 bullets into him, sir. He was just getting his license and registration, sir.
Get the female passenger out.
Ma'am, exit the car right now with your hands up. Let me see your hands. Exit now. Keep them up. Keep them up.
Where's my daughter? You got my daughter?
Face away from me and walk backwards.
Walk
me. Keep walking. Get on your knees. Get on your knees.
My son has been arrested for walking while black. So I get it.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame, you know, in the case of Garner. Well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was better. It's like, no, stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for a society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
Yeah, we all understand that. We all understand that, man. It's sad and it's ridiculous. It's senseless. It's crazy. But it's the society that we live in, and we have to change it, folks. We have to change it. This culture that we're now, this unwanted culture in society, in American society, that is creeping up on us. We have to change it or it's going to get worse. All right, we have a presidential plea, both from Bush, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama. They are saying, stop the madness. And it is madness. I totally agree. I'm not an Obama fan, and I never was a George Bush fan. But I join them in saying, stop the madness. Put the guns down. Stop shooting each other. Stop killing each other. Stop maiming each other. Stop bitching with each other. Stop arguing. Stop fighting. Stop hating. Stop lying. Stop belittling. Just stop it. Other worlds, other leaders, other countries, they're watching what we're doing. And they're telling their citizens not to come to the United States because of the crime, because of the madness. And we have two presidents right here saying, stop the madness. I'm saying, stop the madness out there. Stop the killing. Stop it. Stop it now. You don't have to be a Democrat. You don't have to be a Republican. You don't have to be an independent or libertarian or whatever the hell you call yourself out there. Stop killing each other. Stop it. Put the damn guns down. Stop it. Love one another. Love your neighbor. Love your brother. Love your sister. The guns down. Stop the damn violence. I don't know. I don't think anybody's going to hear that. I don't think anybody's going to hear it when these two presidents say it, because if a person is violent prone, they're going to be violent until they get their asses shot or locked up. One of the two. You know, because there's been so many marches in the streets and some of these really, really high crime neighborhoods in the city of Chicago, and this has been going on for years and years and years, and the shootings never stop. The shootings increase. The thugs, the gangbangers, you know, these people are just adamant in shooting their rivals, aiming at their rivals. A lot of these gangbanging ass thugs can't even shoot straight. instead of shooting at one another, they shoot a child. A child gets shot or something or other. Somebody gets shot in the playground. This is not only about police brutality. This is also about black on black crime. We have to address black on black crime also. When a white officer shoots a black person, I mean, the outrage is enormous. But let a black person shoot another black person, there's hardly anything said about that. There's hardly anything said about that. But let a white cop shoot a black man, a person of color, in the back, it makes national news. Everybody's protesting. There's riots out there on the street. Oh, a white man shot a black man, you know, but let a black man shoot a black man. There's nothing. Oh, that's just an everyday occurrence. That's nothing. Somehow there's a double standard, you know, and I'm African-American and there's a double standard and I don't like it. I think if you're going to treat a white police officer differently because he shot a black man than a black man who shoots another black man, I think that's, you know, I don't think that's fair. It's ridiculous. I don't think that's fair. But you can always argue that the police officer shot the black man because he was running away or he had a gun or whatever. I actually don't think there's a difference. Violence is violence, whether it's black on black crime or a black cop shooting a person of color running away. Crime is crime, and it doesn't matter what it is. We have to stop fighting each other. We must stop arguing and bitching and picking up a knife or a gun and committing violence, because once you go to jail, once you're locked up, once you have that police record, you're through. You're done. You are through. You're done. You may never get another job in your whole life because you had a police record. And even if you try to get that record expunged, it may still follow you. So we have to stop the violence. Because this show is all about making the world a better place. That's all it's about. I've said it before. If you're not about making the world a better place, then if you're listening, turn it off. Turn off my show because you are not the listener that I want you to be. And I'm not what you want me to be. We have too much crime in America, and it's going to take each and every one of us to make it better. As Michael Jackson once sang, we are the men in the mirror. We have to look at ourselves and make that change. Look at ourselves and make that change. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. All right, we're going to have to open our eyes. Open our eyes. All right, we're going to need to open them because there's too much violence going on in the United States. We're fighting each other. Like the song says, stop fighting each other. We're always arguing, bitching, and next thing you know, somebody picks up a gun. Somebody gets shot. It's just crazy. I'm going to say this again. We're fighting against each other. It's Americans against Americans. If we don't be careful, we're going to have another civil war on our hands. And I don't agree with this slogan, war on the police, war on cops. Black Lives Matters does not have a war on police officers. That is totally BS. That is somebody who wants to see chaos. That is somebody who wants to see trouble and chaos going on. Is saying those things, those type of things. And, you know, they're out there. Hate is out there. And it's going to be out there for a long time. Hate, hate, hate. We got people, so many people who are uneducated because they want to be uneducated. They don't want to learn anything because their mind is all twisted to their warped way of thinking. Spreading these things like Black Lives Matter is the new KKK. That's crazy. You know, I mean, that's ludicrous. That's somebody who actually doesn't know anything about Black Lives Matter for someone to say that. And you have to have hate in your heart to say those kinds of things that are totally, totally untrue and uncalled for. All right. Gingrich exits Fox News ahead of Trump's VP announcement. Newt Gingrich, he... former Speaker of the House back in the days of, I believe, Bill Clinton. And he's hoping to be Donald Trump's vice president. Wow, that's interesting because nobody likes Newt. They think he's crazy. What can I say? All righty. Elizabeth Warren asked to speak at the first night of the Democratic National Convention. Okay, she's going to Elizabeth Warren, Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts. She's going to be the first speaker to speak at the Democratic National Convention. And that should be interesting. She's always, Elizabeth is my girl. She always has something great and interesting to say. And whatever she talks about, it makes you think. She knows what she's saying. She cannot stand Donald Trump, and she makes it known. She has no problem making it known that she cannot. It's a lot of women out here can't stand Donald Trump. Why? Because Donald Trump, you know, he has, in my estimation, abused women verbally down through the years, you know, because he's Donald Trump. I'm Donald Trump, you know, and that's the way Donald Trump feels. I'm Donald Trump. Bow down to me, you know. You're second-class citizens if you're a woman dealing with Donald Trump. And it's another woman that doesn't like him. And that's, I can't think of her name. She used to be on The View. Rosie O'Donnell. Yeah. Rosie O'Donnell. She can't stand Donald Trump. I mean, I'd love it when she calls him names because because he calls her name. So, you know, it's going to be great to see if Newt Gingrich, a nobody, is going to be Donald Trump VP nominee. Or either it could be Sarah Palin, or it might be Chris Christie. Any one of those losers, it could be. All right, you guys been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Please join me tomorrow. I'll be right back here tomorrow. Please join me. And I want to say again, thanks for all your accolades and your appreciation of the show. And I hope you guys join me tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
Off the entire upstairs level.